For more audios, go to www.wordchurch.biz. That's B-I-Z.
I think right now we're in a time of change. A time of God use new strategy to reach out for the people who don't know Him. And God want us to be obedient to Him, knowing through Him we can accomplish things we cannot accomplish by our own effort. And also knowing it's the favor of the Lord bring us where we will be. God said we are, as children of God, we all have the calling to tell people the good news. God said, go to the end of the earth to tell the good news, to set captive free. And we need to understand what that means. That is not just a pastor preach and that's it, you know? And that's, it's not you just go to church, that's it. Go to church is very important, because pastors who are trained to do the ministry, they study lots of Bible in detail and depth, and they spend lots of time to searching God's word for ordinary people. And it's very important to go to church, because the Bible said, you know, we as a Christian, we should gather together to praise God together, to seeking God together, and to lift each other, pray for each other, lay hands on the sick. You know, these are very important. But also do not neglect to how to reach out to the people who don't know Jesus, especially people from a different country. And, you know, earlier I just talked about, you know, some people, it's harder for you to talk to them because they think about things you say with their mind of thinking. And you see their eyes, or you hear their talk, you know they don't receive from you yet. They are not there yet. And so for you, you got to follow God's direction how to reach them. Because if you just said, oh, you should this, you should that, they will not receive that. In fact, probably you will push them further from God. You know, live your life as an example of God's love. And people know you truly care about them or not.
Yeah.
I want to turn to let's turn to let's turn to the 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's start at 5. Well, also this is the things is where I talk about how to do God's work. Well, let's start at verse 1. I myself, Paul, appeals to you by meekness and the gentleness of Christ. I who am humble when face to face with you, but bold toward you when I am away. I ask that when I am present, I need not show boldness by daring to oppose those who think we are acting according to human standards. Indeed, we live as human beings, but we do not wage war according to human standards. For the weapons of our warfare are not merely human, but they are divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle raised up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to obey God, our Christ. We are ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Look at what is before your eyes. If you are confident that you belong to Christ, remind yourself of this, that just as you belong to Christ, so also do we. And, you know, this is the things is we are talking about something happened around us, and some people did the bad things, or blah, 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 or the way we are ministered to people may be different with another church or whatever. This is just a different, well, let's put this way. You know, I'm Asian. I'm Chinese American. I can understand a lot of Chinese people the way they are talking. You know, today I attend a Chinese New Year's party, and a lot of people attend who are Christian, but a lot of people who are not. At my table, one is a computer programmer, and the other one is it's a researcher for the like air pollution and different things. They are all very highly educated, you know. And when you talk to them, you can see they want to have good life. They are searching, but they didn't accept Jesus Christ yet. And you can see they know something they miss in their life, you know. We talk about the children, talk about the education, talk about how Americans raise their kids, you know. And Chinese people raise kids are very different with American kids. Chinese people are very big on education. But life is not just education. You need to have other stuff, you know. So we kind of like exchange the gift of how to dealing with the kids. Through the talk, I can see they want to listen to Don and my talk, because our kids are all outstanding, you know, in their eyes. Because they want their kids have good education, and my kids they have, you know, and so they want to talk to us, and because of this, I had a chance to talk to them about Don used to be missionary in Hong Kong, you know, it's God's blessing. And God's favor, you know. I had a chance to say, you know, we teach our kids before study, pray, Lord, help me to understand the things I study, and help me do homework fast and correct in Jesus' name. I said, this you only take 10 seconds, but it works. Help them have good confidence, help them study better, and they know there is God who are help them. And also talk about children do have to have time to play. Kids, let the kids be a kid. When they're getting older, you start teaching them how to dealing with people, how to dealing with the peer pressure, this kind of stuff. And you know, strategy is important. I didn't push them, you got to go to church, or you got to do this, got to do that. But it's like, you know, we are very blessed because my husband is a pastor, and we teach our kids God's way, how to raise the kids. You know, the Bible said you train your kids when they grow up, they will not depart, you know. So, you know, tending the flock of God and reach the people who don't know Jesus Christ, that's a very, very big calling for every one of us, for all our Christians. This is the things that I felt want to remind the people who are listening or the video. It's, you know, when you help others, you will really, really see how blessed you are. You know, I have one book on my nightstand. It's, I read almost every day, just a little bit the same. It's like, if you can pull me up, that means you are on higher ground than me. If we help others, that means we have something can offer. You know, just the things, the more you help others, the more your gift will be doubled. I used to... If I can talk to people one-on-one, but if I talk to the audience, I will, you know, kind of like nervous, you know. Now it's like, hey, you know. So practice make perfect. I would encourage you, do not be afraid to make, maybe you say something wrong or not politically correct. You know, we encourage our kids to walk, come toward me, and then they fall down. We thought that's very cute. Say, come up, come up, come to me, you know. So that's Godfather. We call Godfather. Father want us to willing to learn, to grow mature, how to learn. If learning, this means you will have chance to make a mistake. It's about how to not, if you fall down on the ground, how to not stay on the ground. If you love the Lord, you will, your heart want to do the good things for the Lord. So I just want to encourage you to boldly walk on the water. If you walk on the water, you might as well be sink, but Jesus said, come. When you keep your eyes on Jesus, Jesus will pull you up to the boat.
Amen.
And, you know, this year, you will see lots of signs, wonders, miracles through the place where you live and through the world. And if you take time with the Lord, you will have the assurance, you will have the that feeling God is watching over you. God will protect you. God will lead you step by step. And I just want to say, you know, love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and love one another, and try to help each other to serve the Lord. Scott.
Amen, yes.
That's okay.
Huh?
That's okay.
What do you mean it's okay?
You have something to do it.
Yeah, that's
right. We're supposed to listen. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at some of the aspects of God's plan of salvation. And as Julie was talking about loving one another, let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Now, the things of God that we experience nowadays has to do with His grace.
Mm-hmm. Yes, grace.
We cannot work hard enough to earn everything that God has.
Yep.
It's like a free gift. If you go over to chapter 2, which we're going to not do right now, but chapter 2 says, "For by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." So everything that God has shown to us in these days has to do with our faith and His grace and His blessing. So let's look at verse 3 of chapter 1, Ephesians 1, verse 3. And we'll read 4 or 5 verses. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." And verse 6 yet. "To the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved." In the Beloved, which is His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to share Your Word. And thank You, Lord, for opening up revelation, mm-hmm. not only to us as we speak, but to those who hear.
Yes.
Let them also hear the revelation that comes directly from You, that Your Holy Spirit will anoint us to know the things of God,
mm-hmm.
even the deep things of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The first thing that I read was that we are blessed. Be the God and Father. The blessed God and Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing.
Yeah.
Every spiritual blessing. Well, if it's every spiritual blessing, then there's not any blessings left out. They are all for us, mm-hmm. for you. Mm-hmm. As you believe in God and you have accepted His sacrifice, and you've given your heart to Jesus, then all these blessings that God has ordained for you are coming to you. And they come down from heaven, from heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We can look somewhere else to find our peace, our satisfaction. But you will not find it unless you look from where God has ascended, and it's in His Son Christ. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's not outside of Christ. You cannot find these blessings anywhere else. They are in what God has ordained for us to believe on and also to receive. And He also chose us. He chose you before the foundation of the world. You mean before creation? Yes, before creation. God chose you for some special purposes, special things, probably more special than anyone else has. But ultimately, if we find God's plan for our life, we all are blessed. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame. Holy and without blame. And how can we do that? It says, before Him in love. So in other words, the love that God has shared with us, and we give it out back to other people.
Yes.
Unto this world where we live. It says that we become without blame. That we are holy without blame. Because love covers a multitude of sin. Love fulfills the law. Love does things that nothing else can do. God is love, it says in the scriptures. And when God, we recognize that God is love, and we receive what He has given us in His love, predestinating us and choosing us to be His special children to be what? Holy. To be holy. Now, God is holy, is that right? And we're to be holy as well, because He calls us into a life of holiness. And then verse 5, it says, He predestined us as adoption, as sons and daughters, by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. This is God's will. He didn't move against His will to bless us. No, the blessing that He formed and that He sent out for us to receive was His will. Isn't it special when someone loves you because they want to?
Yes.
They exercise their will to love you. Not because they have to, but because they want to.
Yeah.
They want to love you. And they want to share with you. So if this is what God's heart is, He wanted to share His Son with us. He wanted to give us His salvation, to save us from death and overcome death and the devil himself, to overcome the spirit of darkness in this world, that God sent His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. So we know that in Him we can have that everlasting life. But His desire for us is to live holy in this world. To live holy in this world. All the scriptures point to this one thing, that we need to grow up and mature. Let's turn over to 1 Peter, and we'll connect on this thought. In 1 Peter, that says, chapter 1, and verse 14. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children then, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, You also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. See, God set the standard of himself in the earth. And one thing he did is he established things by showing who he was through the law. But the law only brought condemnation to those who were sinners. So he sent his son to fulfill the law, set up a new agreement, and save the people. He sent his son to save the world. And here he says, we're to be holy like he is holy. We're to be holy in this earth with all our conduct, it says. In all your conduct, the way you conduct yourself in this earth. So let's read on. Verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself, there it is again, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. He's talking about we were not redeemed with corruptible things like gold or silver. And to the earthly person, we think that gold and silver is non-corruptible. I mean, it lasts pretty much forever. I mean, gold is here. And the gold belongs to God, it says. But corruptible things means that it's in the earth, and the things that are in the earth are corrupted. And they are disappearing, and they will disappear. But the thing that we were redeemed with will never disappear. It will never be erased. It'll never be lost. Because it comes, it's not only from corruptible things, but it's from the precious blood of Christ. Look at verse 19. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but it was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Yes. Your faith and hope needs to be in the Lord,
yes,
who has sent his son to save. And we were redeemed not with corruptible things. We were bought and purchased for to be his precious children. We were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, the Messiah, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Because sin was so serious, God had to become serious to save us. How serious is that? To choose your own only begotten son to die for the sins of the world. As a lamb would die in a sacrifice presented unto God. So here he is, the Son of God, put on a cross, and he died for the sins of the whole world in front of God Almighty, and God accepted that sacrifice, his precious blood that was spilled, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That means it was pure, it was holy, and it was clean, and it was acceptable to God. In payment for all the sins of the whole world. In payment for all the sins of the whole world. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, verse 22, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart.
Yeah.
Verse 22. Since you have, let's read that again. Since you have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart.
Yes.
That means on fire. Let the love of God come and make you hot for people, to love them,
yes,
and to give yourself on their behalf, so that just as Jesus gave himself on the cross, we ourselves are supposed to lay down our lives for our friends. We're to lay down our lives for those who have special need. to know God. Since we know Him, it says, since you have purified your soul, since you know God, then, in obeying the truth, through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. In other words, the Spirit has taught us how to love. You know, we may not have good examples on the earth of what love is. We've had a lot of mistakes in love. A lot of mistakes we think is love because it comes from the earth. It was an earthly love or some other kind. But when God's love came, then it says the Spirit, through the Spirit in sincere love. In other words, we don't know what sincere love is until the Spirit gets a hold of us. Until the Spirit comes in and takes over and He is in charge. And then He knows the love of God, which is without limits. It is agape love. There's no shortage in God's love. Well, we don't know that until the Spirit comes and penetrates your heart and gets in there. And then what? He teaches us how to love other people. Love of the brethren. In other words, the Spirit teaches the love of the brethren. Mm-hmm. Now He says, now you love one another fervently from your heart.
Yes.
Fervently from your heart. Let it burn inside of you. Not up here in your mind only. Or in some other worldly way. But in God's way that you love somebody. In a way to lay down your life. In other words, whatever it costs. We're supposed to reach out. Whatever it costs, we're supposed to lay down our life. By giving, sharing. And it has to do with our living a life of holiness. According to this, they're tied together.
Yeah,
I see
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
Holiness at beginning here in verse 15. But He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you look over in 1 John, chapter 3, 1 John, letter of John,
mm-hmm.
first letter, chapter 3,
mm-hmm.
and 16, this is the second John 3, 16. The first one was John 3, 16. This is 1 John 3, 16, and read it. By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?
Yeah.
My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In other words, it needs to be real from
yes.
the heart.
Uh-huh.
And He's saying, by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. In other
yeah.
words, you have a conscience. He put a conscience within each and every one of us so that we know when we need to do something right. And we know not to do something that's wrong. And it has to do with Holy Spirit leading us in our heart. We must listen to God in our heart so that we will, if there is condemnation there, that means we have fallen short. But what is the love that we're supposed to respond with? It's verse 16. Because He laid down His life for us, we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's pretty plain right there.
Yeah.
Because Jesus, what He did, is an example for how we are to live. Holiness is to be like the Father.
Yeah. 23.
What?
Verse
23. 23 says, read it, Dana.
It won't come on the microphone.
And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. So this is a summation, completion of what we have been reading about. This is His commandment, not just a suggestion. not just a good idea, but it is a commandment that we should believe on the name of the Son of Christ, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. So God's called us as special children to be holy.
Yes.
That we would not disappoint Him. As children, we want our children not to disappoint us, right?
Mm-hmm.
We want them to succeed, and we want them to do the right thing. We want them to be mature, to grow up. That's what we want of our children. And when they fall short of that, we are disappointed. We love them, but there is a disappointment. And I'm sure that God is wanting to see that kind of growth and maturity and holiness, holy action in His own children, because we are part of Him. As we are according to our earthly heritage, much more are we when we become connected to our heavenly heritage. We are birthed from above. Jesus said you must be born again. Well, to be born again, you are born of the Spirit. And the Spirit is the one that God gives us from Himself. And so part of God comes in us and lives. And when He does that, then we have a connection of a way to be holy, a way to love beyond our own ability. We just don't have it in ourselves. That's why we have a lot of broken homes and broken relationships in this world, because we don't know until God really gets a hold of us what is true love. And when God comes in and lives in you, then you begin to recognize true and genuine and deep love. Fervent love is what Peter said. Love one another fervently from the heart. From the heart. So you must look inside tonight and just say, Lord, I want that kind of love.
Yes.
Because without that kind of love, I think we are not being as mature or complete that we should be. You know, it's good to know all of the Scripture. But James says, do not be a hearer only, but be a doer of the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, that You gave us instructions and commandments and directions that we would live our lives. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that not only us here, but those who are listening online, on the internet, I pray, Father, that everyone who hears this message tonight will commit themselves to change.
Yes.
To live deeper in God and to also root up and bear fruit for Him. And that fruit will be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness. Those things will be evident in our lives. So I pray, Father, for a real opening of our heart towards Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah, to show us that God is love. And help us to be holy in all of our action. Help us, Lord. Our desire first is to be holy like You are holy, to be love like You are love, because You are the source of these things. You're the source of love, the source of light, the source of everything good in this world. So we just want to connect to You tonight. We say, come, Lord Jesus, and fill us up with Yourself. Give us Your word, Lord, and let us be doers of that word, not just hearers only, that we would be deceiving ourselves. And I pray also for anyone who's listening has not made Jesus Lord of their life yet. I pray, Lord, that You will convict their hearts. Convince them, Lord, of what they need.
Yes.
That they need to accept Your sacrifice, to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only true Son of God that gave his life for all the world, and turn from their sins and repent and call upon the name of the Lord, and they will not be disappointed. They shall be saved. When they believe in Jesus, that he had been raised from the dead, and he is Lord. Father, thank you that you are Lord. You're Lord over our lives, you're Lord over sin, you're Lord over sickness, you're Lord over this world, you're Lord over all things, because you not only came to earth, but you also went back to heaven.
Yeah.
And you fill all things from bottom to top. Mm. Everywhere your influence and your power has gone. So now, Lord, all creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And this whole earth is just shaking because of that. It's waiting for the manifestation of something really great and good and holy. It's waiting for the church to arise and become what God has called it to become. Holy church, without spot or blemish, it says in Ephesians 5. Mm-hmm. So Father, bless this time. Bless those who hear the word and receive it. In Jesus' name, amen.